Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a good week. And remember, if you ever want to email me about topics or about guests, you can email me ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And if you go to that website, you can also hear podcasts of all past shows and also connect with me on social media, should you wish, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. But if you want to email me, I'm always interested to hear any thoughts you might have on subjects that we cover or guests that you would like or that you've enjoyed. So again, the website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. In the second hour of this show, I'm pleased to be interviewing Merce. Creating great music since the early 90s, Merce is an indie rap icon who has recorded multiple albums and has performed all over the world. His consistently intelligent, thoughtful, and charismatic work has engendered a huge dedicated following of fans, with iTunes commenting that Merce's low-key intelligence and self-deprecatory indignation make him a curiously modest figure on a hip-hop scene filled with inflated egos. He kindly is making time taken out from his tour to talk to us, and we'll be talking about his life, art, and educated street music for an educated street movement. So that's coming up in the second hour. Now, what have we got coming up this hour? Well, for questions that matter this week, we're considering, can sex be sacred? And what we're doing in the first part of the show is starting conversations that make us think. I'm not necessarily trying to find a definitive answer to an issue. I'm certainly not attempting to argue a particular point of view. I'm trying to start a thought process, a conversation, and in the out and about feature, I seek opinion from people on the street, and I'm not trying to equally weight opinion. I'm just featuring the thoughts of people who agree to be interviewed. So I have no idea who's going to agree to be interviewed in advance or what their thoughts are going to be. And I don't pick and choose. I feature all the interviews I record. And by doing this, I'm hoping that by listening to other people's thoughts, you know, we might find ourselves thinking about a topic we may not have been thinking about before. We may find ourselves thinking about it in a different way or having new ideas on it. So we're going to be considering, as I said, this week, can sex be sacred? And as usual, I have been out and about interviewing people and getting their opinions. So let's first of all hear from Sean and Shannon. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
My name's Sean.
Shannon.
Well, thanks very much, Sean and Shannon, for stopping for our out and about feature. And this week our topic is, can sex be sacred? To help break out of preconceived thinking about sex, psychotherapist Dr. Michael Picucci likes to use sex as an acronym for soul energy exchange or soul energy extravaganza. He says, when two human beings combine love's energy with erotic energies, a transcendent experience occurs, one that is profoundly healing. This is a very sacred sharing and the true goal of a fulfilling sexual experience. Reaching this goal is the result of a give and take, a negotiation of the open-hearted experience of interconnectedness. So I'm wondering, do you think people generally think about this aspect at all, or are even aware of the idea of sex being both erotic and potentially involving the spirit or the soul as well?
I think maybe your general person doesn't quite think of it as being sacred. I know most guys, just it's more like, and depending on whether or not you're in a relationship, a single guy thinks of it more as like a conquest, I think, or just something to do, or like fulfillment, or actually like kind of a goal at the end of the night. I think that when you're in a relationship with someone that you're in love with, then yeah, that I think is maybe it's more common for someone to kind of creep towards that. I think for most people, maybe the sacred aspect isn't something that they think about a lot. I don't think I've ever actually tried to make it what I would call sacred. I've tried to make it profound when we can. But as far, I don't know, I think especially for some people, if something, you know, if things that you hold sacred are things like religion or family, children, something like that, maybe sex is something that you would consider wanting to put in that category, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's a certain open-mindedness, I think, that needs to come with that, too, that maybe not a lot of people have when it comes to it.
You know, there's an idea that orgasm, for a lot of people, is one of the most accessible, kind of mystical experiences. Do you think that's something that, as a man, you've ever thought about in that moment, that this is connecting you to something greater, higher, or whatever, or not?
Yeah. Yeah, because anything that's that fleeting yet so amazing is something that, I mean, I've never tried to go into any kind of a tantric type of study or anything like that, but I hear about it and I think, God, those people are having the greatest sex. How do you do that? Who do I ask about that? How do I get into that? Because I mean that's really all I would. That's all I can refer to. Maybe on something broaching sacred, but that, I don't know, that seems to me like, yeah.
And so what do you think? Do you think people generally think about this aspect at all? And do you think maybe it's a male-female difference at all? Or?
I'd like to think it's not a male-female difference, especially because I definitely have female friends that sex is purely, I don't want to say selfish, but to them, in certain instances, it's a selfish thing that night they just want to have an orgasm, and it's not specific to who it's coming from, but it's something for them to have. For myself, I don't even know if I would say I think of it as a sacred thing, but when I have sex with somebody or want to get to a point where I'm having an orgasm with somebody, it's going to be with somebody that respects me and cares about me and that we're both getting something out of it. So I guess that to some degree negates being sacred, because I wouldn't want to share something with somebody that we're not both, you know, having the same end result, or at least coming out of it afterwards being like, thank you, we both did that together, and I wanted to do this to bring you somewhere and for you to bring me to a certain point. So I don't not associate it with being a connection with somebody,
right.
And I wouldn't connect with somebody like that I didn't have a mutual respect or understanding with.
Mm.
So
I'm wondering, you know, we think about women being sexually objectified, which I think they are a lot, you know, in the media.
Yeah.
But I also started wondering whether, in fact, all of us, men and women, have become rather sexually objectified, culturally, the way we think, and kind of what you're saying about just sort of thinking of yourself, oh, I just feel like I want to have an orgasm tonight, so I'm just going to go and find a guy and a dick, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, you said fast food.
In a fast food, I was thinking, like, we're in a college town now, but we came down from Chico, which is definitely like that. You can see on any corner on almost any weeknight,
and especially a weekend,
sort of, you know, kind of fast food agenda going on with, you know, just wanting to rope someone that you casually know and having sex. And there's nothing sacred about that whatsoever. I don't know. I've always thought, like, the sacred and the profane kind of have a mixed kind of a relationship with each other. So, but I mean, also I think that's, it's something that's probably increasingly lost on at least our culture.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really see people, at least a large amount of people, trying to get anything sacred out of sex. That would be amazing. I mean, I would love to, idealistically, I think everyone would love to look at sex that way, to have that kind of sex, because that sounds like the best sex anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, Dr. Michael Pacucci says that the deeply ingrained and culturally induced rift between sexuality and spirituality haunts us. What he calls the split arises out of early religious and cultural training, which teaches that love and families are good while sex is dirty, bad and perverse. I'm just wondering whether you think that's an aspect of this, that people really compartmentalize and they have this idea that, you know, you either just have to be pursuing sex as a kind of purely erotic, you know, or, I mean, do you think the difficulty people have with thinking of it as sacred is from religious kind of ideas about sex?
Okay, I went to a Catholic school and where we were, you know, it's like the very definition of sexual oppression. But usually, like, the counterpart is to that. Like, there's the myth that, you know, everyone who goes to a Catholic school is so sexually repressed that once they, you know, find their...
Or at least very guilty about sex.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But then, you know, they have this, you know, I don't know, coming out party, if you... That's you know what I mean? Like, they have...
Literally.
There's that counterbalance to that, where it's like, I've been repressed for so long, now I'm just going to be this, you know, sexually free and you know, it's...
But what I'm really meaning is that, because if you're told by your religion that, you know, sex is not part of spirituality, then when you are having sex, you're automatically going to distinguish it from your spirituality and religion, because you're going to be thinking, I'm doing something that's not thought of as a good thing to be doing, and so I'm just going to enjoy it on this level. That's how I mean the split might be occurring.
I could see it like that out of the gates, maybe, like with your, you know, your first few handful or however many years of sexual experience, you know, depending on the type of person you are, that being, yeah, you may be carrying a little bit of guilt. But I think that maybe as you grow into figuring out who you are as a person and realizing that this can't possibly be bad, this can't possibly be something that you need to be ashamed of, that it has to grow out of that. I think if you carry that around with you and that's something that's like weighing you down most of your adult life, then you're probably not in for a very pleasant ride.
No.
And even if you do find someone you're in love with, or just a, you know, a series of people you can be in love with, you're not getting what you should be out of it.
Right.
There's nothing. I mean, even if you don't believe in anything being sacred, there's almost no point to sex unless you're gonna try to get the absolute most out of it that you can, and that's, you know, that's the emotional part of it with the physical part of it, and. I mean, even if you never get to the level of, like, you know, calling it sacred, I mean, that's the best part of being with someone. We've been together 5 years, and our sex is amazing because we know each other so well. And I don't know, just sacred is such a big word. It carries so much weight.
I mean, I think, you know, if we define it in terms of bringing your soul or your spirit into sex, maybe that would make it have less weight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You could see that.
Absolutely, definitely, yeah.
Which is something beyond emotion. It's not just emotion, it's just love, but it's more a sort of a whole of your whole being.
That adds a spirituality to it that maybe not a lot of people see in, you know, two people sharing the most intimate thing they can possibly share.
Yeah, well...
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, can sex be sacred? We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
The music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Ocean's black, but steam lane. No white horses to play the game. About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a question of balance music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com. The power of creativity is alive and well in our community, especially in our young people. Come and see for yourself at the 60th Annual High School Art Show at the Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz from May 2nd through 24th. This event provides the only professional gallery exhibition for high school age artists in our county. Students from local, public, private, charter, home, and at-risk schools are invited to benefit from the Art League's state-of-the-art space. The students include serious potential Art Academy majors, those fulfilling an elective, and first-time artists seeing a project through to the end. Self-esteem is enhanced, and everyone has fun. Admission is free to this great exhibition. Come and see what our young artists are creating at the 60th Annual High School Art Show from May 2nd through the 24th at the Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz. If you'd like more information, visit www.scal.org. That's www.scal.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic this week. Can sex be sacred? And if you have any thoughts on this that you'd like to share with me, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Well, before the break, we were hearing from Sean and Shannon. So let's hear a bit more of what they had to say.
I mean, if you're talking in regards to, like, culturally, like, how we're raised, like, I was born and raised here, so I definitely have a more liberal perspective than most people. But even with that said, in my, public education, sex is really taught to females that you're not supposed to get pregnant. And that you need to practice abstinence, or you need to protections your responsibility. So there's a lot of sex being sacred and being told that it's something that you have control over and that you can make what you want from it is really not taught to young women. You're really told that sex is your responsibility to not get pregnant, sex is your responsibility not to get an STD, and sex is your responsibility that if you want to be promiscuous to not get attached to somebody because then you're going to get hurt.
Yep.
So, growing up with that mindset, it definitely initially was kind of a barrier for me to get over was, what do I want out of it? If I'm going to go through this act that culturally everybody around me is telling that everybody is doing and that they're okay with it, how am I actually feeling with it compared to how I'm culturally supposed to feel with it? And I definitely made a point to myself knowing that I didn't like culturally with what I was told to do. Although spectrum like flip of it, I had friends that were totally, that was their thing. They wanted to just go out and find somebody and have sex that night and have an orgasm and that was it for them. And really it was devoid of a connection or a relationship. And for me, it was the opposite. I wanted to find somebody that was my friend and that I respected with, and we were sharing something really awesome. I guess I never really thought of it as spiritual, but definitely it was about a connection. Like, you're finding somebody and you're sharing something that is like one of the most, I guess, intimacy was never out of my mind. Like, you're sharing something very intimate with somebody. This is something that can potentially bring another person into the world. Mm-hmm. So that connection was always there for me. But definitely growing up, though, I got a skewed perspective that there was all these other factors I had to think about before I was emotionally allowed to let myself vulnerable for sex.
Mm. Yeah. And that also made me think about what you said earlier about conquest. And if you think about younger people having sex and it being presented in the way that you've just said, it becomes very much about who have I managed to be attracted to me, or if you're a man, who have I managed to have sex with, and that's sort of like, it's almost, it's on that kind of level, which is so shallow, isn't it? And what you're saying is the education around sex really doesn't explain the depth that can be there.
There's no emotional training for you about what that can mean, because it really goes both ways. Like, there's some people that sex is going to be something every single time, that they need that emotional connection, that they need that spiritual thing that you're talking about. And other people that I know, like,
side of that, where it's like there could be anything but that emotional.
Yeah, that's
the last ingredient they want in that whole.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was a hard question.
So would you like to see different kind of education around sex, do you think, for young people?
I would. I think I don't know. I think you need to be, I mean, I don't know too many high school kids, but I mean, I would think that you need to be ready to absorb that kind of a concept, I think, before it's presented to you. I think you need to be at a certain age, really, before, because, I mean, a high school kid is just a giant walking erection, just waiting. Just, I mean, you are just so, all you know is that there's something you need to get, and you're having a hard time finding it, and it's the end all. As soon as it happens to you, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. And it's so, I mean, it's you're already just this mess of hormones and just this catastrophe of sexual association with things that have nothing to do. You're like, what are you? But I don't know. I think once you have to grow into that, I think.
Yes.
I don't think that's something that, I mean, that's something that, I mean, it's not like it shouldn't be maybe mentioned and familiarized, and it shouldn't be like an alien concept by the time you hit your 20s. But I think you kind of need to have enough space to unpack a concept like that.
Yeah, I don't think that young adults, teenagers, but just young adults are really not empowered to have it be their decision.
For most of them. I mean, there's exceptions.
No, there's exceptions to the rules, but I feel like culturally it is, especially now with, like, I wouldn't say especially now, but there's definitely this concept of, like, for young college students, like, you should get laid by the time you're there. So there's this stigma, this idea that having sex is so normal, that you're not normal if you're not having it, and to have casual sex is...
I mean, honestly, it doesn't really seem out of the realm of possibilities that sex with someone you just met 5 hours ago couldn't be
profane.
Profound.
Profound.
It's going to be profane.
That was Freudian, I think.
Yeah. It's totally going to be profane. There's no way. But yeah, there's no reason why that couldn't at least, you know, dip a toe into something that you might consider sacred or beautiful or...
I mean, in that instance, I would say you would have to be... It's probably not, no. And in order to experience that, you would have to be very open and be willing to be exposed and vulnerable.
And insanely good connect. I mean,
yes. I mean, there'd be so many things that would have to fall into place. You know, it would have to be really good. You would have to be really emotionally open. You would have to be giving yourself completely all to this person you met 5 hours ago. Right. I mean, if you did that, then yes, probably, maybe you could.
It'd have to be downright Shakespearean, I think. Like, it would have to be, stars and planets aligned. Like, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
No?
I mean, I figure for some people that are just locked off to that kind of a concept, I mean, it's just as good a chance as them ever having it in their lives, ever, as there are two complete strangers having it happen in a small time frame.
Yeah.
It's really not something I'm ashamed to say. That's really not something I've ever thought about. Like, not ever, but I haven't thought about it enough.
What, the spiritual side of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the spiritual side, that always kind of, you know, whether or not you're really putting it into words or expressing it, like, I think that's always something that at least two people that are in love when they're having sex definitely... at least imagine, you know, maybe it's something you haven't given a name to, but it's back there. But just, like I said, just sacred is just a heavy, it's such a, I mean, it's a heavy word. So it's You know, I imagine that. I almost imagine some form of worship in it, which is a bad association with sacred, but, you know, that's the Catholic schoolboy in me.
Well, I think, you know, with tantric sex, there is the idea that your partner is your church. So, you know, there is that sort of element to it. But, I mean, not in terms of, you know, they're your religion, but,
no,
you know.
Just, they're your discipline. I mean, that sounds about right. That seems... From things that I know nothing about, that seems like the closest form that I could think of to it being sacred.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only thing people really in our culture, I mean, other than people who've really sought it out, know about anything tantric arts is from Sting or really bad movies.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
That's all we get.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
People
yeah.
aren't picking up copies of the Kama Sutra. Unless they're stealing it out of their parents' book collection when they're 13 to look at naked pictures.
Yeah, to look at the picture.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah, me too.
Totally did.
I have a pop-up book of the Kama Sutra.
Oh my God. That's got to be awesome.
It is so awesome. I saw it at this bookshop, and I always liked pop-up books when I was a child. You know, like, it's so much
yeah.
fun. I was
That's
like, oh my God, I have to have this. There's all these little moving parts.
And you move the page and they do this.
There's even this one page that opens up that has, like, this, you know, it stands up and out from the page and the
does
people.
Does it have a slider in it?
Oh yeah, lots of sliders.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
So fun.
That's hilarious.
I'm gonna find that. That's gonna be an anniversary present right there. Yep. Pop up tantra.
Well, thank you so much, both of you. I really appreciate you stopping.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank
fun.
You. And you know, I wish you all the best for your marriage.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank
I appreciate
you
that.
Much.
I wish you the best for your show.
Thank you.
Well,
you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, can sex be sacred? As usual, I've been out and about on the streets talking to people who very kindly agree to stop and give me their time. And that was Sean and Shannon there with some very interesting thoughts, I think, on this topic. The next conversation I had for out and about was with James and Xander. So let's hear what they have to say.
Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm James.
Xander.
Great. Well, thanks very much for stopping for our out and about feature. And this week our topic is, can sex be sacred? SacredSex.org says, we are sexual creatures made by sex, sustained by sex, and if we are foolish, destroyed by sex. What we are now is a result of sex. What we will be depends upon our use of sex. Our relationship to sex shows us who we truly are inside. Sex is a mirror into our soul. Let us peer into the basis of all life sexually and discover who we truly are and what we can become. So I'm wondering, do you think people think about sex being a mirror into the soul, or even maybe aware of the idea of being sex being both erotic and spiritual generally?
Well, that's the key question, right? The definition of sacred, the definition of sex. Now, sex can be lovemaking and sex can be purely erotic. And you've got to clearly define what you mean by sex and what you mean by sacred. So I think that sex can be sacred, but the society we live in almost views it as a commodity to be maximized, especially on college campuses and then filtered into pop culture, music, TV, Fast and Furious 7. So I think as a society, our pop culture is degrading the potentiality of how sacred a sexual experience could be. It's also changing our definition of what sex is. And I think that draws it away from its sacred potentiality.
What do you think?
I'm just going to agree with that one.
What he said. Okay.
What he said.
I'm wondering, we hear a lot about objectification of women sexually, but I'm wondering whether actually as a society we're all becoming rather objectified in a way, you know, just sort of like viewed as a series of body parts, you know, to be enjoyed the way the media, you know, there seems to be this compartmentalization of sex, you know, either it's spiritual, either it's love, either it's just hot sex or whatever, and you don't hear a lot lot about those three things being kind of merged holistically. Is that something that you see? I mean, when I say spiritual, I guess I mean in terms of bringing our soul into sex, a kind of deeper part of ourselves.
Right. Well, I mean, I think with sex, you've got to look at... It's not a one-way street, right? It's between two people, and for it to be sacred, I think it needs to, this relationship needs to develop into a sacred sexual relationship. And so, like, yeah, maybe this is what, like, we were getting at with, like, society and the media's representation of it. A lot of that is, like, commoditizing sex as what can it get? What can I get from it? And engaging in the experience as, you know, something that I can get, rather than, you know, you hear of married couples in their 40s who are trying to reinvigorate their sex life. And now that's a completely different realm than like college kids deal in, and in viewing sex as more of a commodity and how can I maximize it with different people. And so I think that when you get to 40 and 50 year old married couples, then there's a potential for it to become sacred, because it's between two people and it's more, it's built around a relationship. And yeah, I think in that sense, it could incorporate the trifecta, the spiritual and the other two things you incorporated there.
Love
more holistic, yeah. Love and hot sex. But yeah, I think it's important to remember that it's built around a relationship. As far as being objectified as people with moving parts, I think that was more true back in the Industrial Revolution, where, you know, people were sort of put on assembly lines and given tasks and specialized in one task and sort of were made into automatons. You complete this task and do it very well. Today, you're seeing a lot of these tasks being automated by machines and by the massive amounts of data we have to predict how to do these things better than humans can do. And I think that now is the potential for us to reinvigorate our humanness, because we have all the menial, tedious tasks likely to be automated in 20 years' time, and now we can start, developing what's innately human, which is our creativity and our sense of, you know, emotion and creation, and how that plays in. Something that machines can't do. You can't encode emotion into a machine. I think it was more true back in the revolution, and now, I don't know whether it's going up or down, differential, but.
I got something to add. So I feel that our society has, over the last, I don't know, 1,000 years or however long, has become more and more focused on the idea of us being separate from nature, separate from one another. And there's this whole idea of separation. And we, through mainstream media, that's reinforced. That, like, I'm a separate entity to you, and that I'm taught to maximize what's best for me because I'm the only thing that I know, because of this sort of separation. And I think that is very influential in the way people are engaging in sex, because they're approaching sex just from their standpoint. And when they're having sex with someone, they're just thinking about how it is for them. Well, they're just in their experience of it, and there's not the sort of understanding, or there's not that sort of like desire to get into the other person's perception of it and sort of share in the experience.
Yeah. Well, what sex was back in the Roman Empire, right?
Yeah.
Like, how has it evolved over time? I think that's more a relevant question before we start digging down into what it means now, because it's going to fit into some context.
Yeah. I'm not sure we can really know. I mean, we know we look through, you know, we have various sources and things, and sex is represented in certain ways, but I'm not sure we can actually really know. I mean, it seems to have been a really human, obviously it's one of the fundamental human experiences. And what I was going to say to you about separateness is that you were referring to how younger people, you know, want to have sex with a lot of different people, to have variety. And that seems to me, if you're approaching sex on a more separate level, just from your own point of view, just from a physical point of view, the only way you can really change it up is to change people.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, you're only engaging in like a different set of boobs or whatever in your case. Do you know
right.
what I mean? And
right.
if you are coming from a more spiritual place within yourself and relating to someone not so separate, and you're also relating to them in that way, then I think that has the potential to magnify the experience and be more connecting.
Is that absolutely. Something you can see? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And I think when, particularly the way that people are having sex, there's a lot of focus and attention on like sex positions and like engaging in ways that it's that isn't, I don't know, that is just reinforcing the whole separate nature.
It also plays into the gloating to friends about sex. Right. And this is also a big part of the need for variety. It seems to me that it is used as a status symbol, almost, especially in communities, in tight communities where your status is constantly being evaluated.
So there's a value on perhaps like the number of people you sleep with, the quality of people you're sleeping with that you manage to kind of pull or whatever, rather than how deep an experience did you manage to have with
Absolutely.
Someone.
Yeah, I would say that's the main train of thought in like that. That's how people are approaching it. At least people in Western societies, in the millennials
that we know,
like everyone that we know. Yes, that's the way they're approaching it.
Yeah. In What is Tantric Sex by Jamie Beckman, she says, the tantrics of old recognized that orgasm can be a mystical experience, often the most readily accessible mystical experience of all. Do you think people think about sex as being a mystical experience at all? I mean, you know, because I guess it's so brief when you have an orgasm. The whole point of tantric sex is that you extend that point of feeling like you do when you have an orgasm for much longer, and therefore it is deeper and more mystical. Do you think there's any element that people feel in that moment that might make them want to search deeper for something else?
Yeah, and I think women in general are more connected to that side of sex and that experience of it, and I think that also is sort of what differentiates how men and women, there's a difference with how they engage in it. And I think, so part of it's physiological. I think women can have a much deeper or much more involved experience of the orgasm. For men, it seems to be the approach to it isn't really, it's kind of just about like having the orgasm, and it's just trying to like get it done almost.
See, it's more for men, it's more like a culmination of, and then it's the end, whereas
exactly.
for women it's more of an ongoing like long
exactly period. Exactly. And so I think that it makes it more accessible for women into the like the mystical side of it, and I think that's why men don't tend to, and maybe that's just how it's sort of like evolved over time, why men have sort of approached it the way they do, and women sort of seem to have more of a bigger perspective on what it is.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, our question that matters, can sex be sacred? And if you have any thoughts on this, remember you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Every day, horses are rounded up, captured, sold, and sent off to be cruelly slaughtered for food overseas. The horses you see out your window today could end up on someone's dinner plate tomorrow. We simply must do something to save them. This great country was built on the backs of the horses. They helped us plow our fields, pull our wagons, and they deserve all the dignity and respect afforded other American icons. The horse helped us craft this nation we know and revere today. This is country music star Lacey J. Dalton. I have dedicated my life to save Nevada's wild horses, but I cannot save them without your help. Your generous donations are the only chance some of these horses have. Visit letemrun.com for more information. Join me. Nevada's wild horses are disappearing from our rangelands at an alarming rate. Visit letemrun.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, can sex be sacred? I've been out and about on the street interviewing people, and I hope it's giving you some things to think about. Remember, we're not trying to push any particular agenda or any particular point of view. The idea is just to think about, well, huh, that's interesting. What I've never thought about that before, or what do I think about this? So thanks to the people who have been talking to me. And again, if you want to email me your thoughts, you can email me at the website ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And you can also connect with me there through social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. I wanted to read author Brandy Williams' writing on sex. She says, "Sex is the most engrossing human act. Intimate touch involves all the senses. At the moment of pleasure, of shivering contact with a partner, all our normal duties, tasks, fears, failures, all things we do drop away. This is life at its simplest, a time simply to be, to watch, listen, smell, taste, touch and feel, to focus on being a physical being and experience the body's capacity for pleasure. When our bodies feel healthy and our hearts clear, when we can give and accept pleasure freely and with sincerity, when we bring to intimate touch an awareness of the divine, then sex becomes sacred. We blossom into a fully human consciousness, caught up in the passionate embrace of life. We become supple, flexible, centered, and alive in the moment." So that's what we're thinking about this week. Can sex be sacred? And if it can, what exactly does that mean? We were hearing from James and Xander. Let's hear some more of their thoughts.
I'd be interested to see like what the newer chemistry is, differences in the men and the women too. Perhaps it plays into the propensity or the potentiality for women to have more of an ongoing experience, whereas men it's fairly fleeting.
And maybe that's evolutionary as well. It's going to be beneficial from evolution standpoint for men just to keep having sex, as much sex as they can, whereas women
are going to bear the child. Exactly. and it's a before 1940, 50 contraception.
The child. The whole sex, the act of sex, the woman is the one who's then creating the child inside of her.
Right.
Yeah. You know, exactly. There's a big difference between. I think there's a big difference for men and women in the experience of sex because of like the outcomes of sex, how they approach it, the physiological difference of orgasm.
Yeah. I think there's also a biological aspect there. I mean, what you're talking about is sort of, you know, trumped out fairly frequently. But, you know, there's also an aspect for men, if you want to have your progeny survive, you can't just impregnate people. You do also have to ensure that those progeny live to adulthood. So I think there are some biological aspects of that that do keep men with their family.
But I think that... on the whole, traditionally, and not just in Western societies, but in most societies, women care for and bring up the child, where the man gets the food for the child. And this is...
the relationship.
They don't take care of the child, they provide for the child, historically.
Which, but, I mean, that involves them having to be around, not just sort of spreading their seed and moving on to the next village or whatever.
But they can have multiple women that are bearing.
He only has to be around once a month.
If they're very good providers, which I guess is where the whole Arab model comes from. Multiple wives. You have to be able to treat them all equally financially or you're not allowed to marry them. There's a philosopher, Julius Evola, who thinks that sex can only be sacred if it involves both the physical and spiritual aspects of us moving towards a sense of unity. So whereas it's common to think of sex simply for pleasure as not being sacred, you know, most people think if you're just having sex for pleasure, it's not sacred. He also thinks that if you're just having sex for love, it's not sacred either because it's denying the physical aspect. And in terms of using sacred in the terms of being connected to our whole being, so it's sort of like flipping it around and thinking, you know, that just loving sex that kind of denies the physical needs for whatever, you know, to make it exciting and really sexy is also not sacred in terms of it not connecting us to our whole spirit. Wondering what you might think about that. I guess there's this idea in our society that it's kind of an either or. If you're having that kind of deep sex, that it's not very interesting.
You can't have hot sex with someone that you're committed to and that you like care for deeply. And if you're,
I mean, is that something that you think does exist? This idea of it's kind of an either or. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I think that exists. I don't think that's like the all that exists. I think that both do exist. I think that there are couples and relationships that exist where people have the loving aspect of it and have the sort of hot physical attraction side of it. I think it definitely does exist, but I wouldn't say it's what's common.
And do either of you think about sex as a means of finding spiritual enlightenment? I mean, kind of almost from a religious perspective of, like, you know, can you connect with whatever you think the divine is through sex?
I don't, but I certainly like agreed with the previous person that said that it's the most readily available resource that we have to
experience the mystical. Right, yeah.
I'm wondering whether that was like that was in the context of women or men or both people.
I think both. Yeah, it's about tantric sex, so it's about both.
Yeah.
And I think most people's idea of tantric sex is, you know, sting, you know, and the idea that you can keep going for 6 hours because he made that comment about, you know, that. Ever since then, everyone thinks tantric sex is all about that. But mainly it's about, you know, a connection for both people, but also extending what I said earlier, extending that feeling of that you get in an orgasm, but for much longer, which perhaps is perhaps more pertinent for men. It's giving you more of an experience for longer, a heightened experience, you know, rather than it just being that culmination like we were talking of, and then it's kind of all over.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that I am looking for like enlightenment through sex, but I do think that I'm looking for insights and some sort of enlightenment from from like relationship, you know. And I think that there is something very valuable in being able to commit, have a committed relationship with someone. And I think that being able to do that is kind of, I don't know if it's a discipline, but it's like, it does lead you to being able to see things differently in maybe perhaps a more enlightened way. And maybe extending that to sex, yeah, I hadn't really thought of that, but I do see that there could be a connection.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for your opinions. I really appreciate you stopping.
Thank you.
No worries. Hope that helped.
No worries. Too easy.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thanks to James and Xander there from Australia, but currently living here in Silicon Valley, I believe. So, and thanks to everybody who, you know, talked to me this week on what is quite a difficult topic, I think, to think about, the way sex is presented in the media. Is fairly one-dimensional, what we see in the world of music and just generally around us. I don't think there's a lot of exposure to the idea of this other, deeper, maybe even divine element of sex. And as Sean pointed out, most of our access to that kind of information is perhaps just hearing about Sting or from watching bad movies, as he said. So I think it's, you know, something to turn over in your mind. And I hope, you know, it's given you some things to think about. And as I said before, I'd love to hear what thoughts you might have. You can email me, Ruth at itsaquestionofbalance.com. And just to remind you again, coming up in the second hour, my special guest from the arts is Merce, hailing from Los Angeles and creating great music since the early 90s. Merce is a indie rap icon who's recorded multiple albums and has performed all over the world. He's been referred to as the hardest working man in West Coast hip hop. Originally a member of Three Melancholy Gypsies, he joined up with The Grouch and Mystic Journeyman to form Living Legends, which LA Weekly has described as one of the biggest success stories of the indie rap movement, having sold close to 300,000 units all on their own. And Merce is a prolific artist who's created both quality solo albums and collaboration projects. He is consistently intelligent, thoughtful, charismatic in his work, and he's got a dedicated following of fans. And you don't have to be a fan of hip-hop or rap to find his thoughts on life, the American condition, love, all the different subjects that he is interested in, very thought-provoking. iTunes comments that Merce's low-key intelligence and self-deprecatory indignation make him a curiously modest figure on a hip-hop scene filled with inflated egos. And his new album, he's just moved recently, moved record companies to Strange Music. His new album, Have a Nice Life, is coming out on the 18th of May. We're going to be playing a couple of tracks from the album. So I hope you can stay around and hear this very, very interesting, thoughtful artist and hear some of his art as well. I'll see you after the break.